This is the Dr. Chris Lib Podcast. Welcome to a special mini-series called Bone Saws Bring It Back, Faculty Edition. The University of Alberta Medical Class of 2013, the Bone Saws, had their 10-year class reunion in November 2023. I invited faculty leaders and block coordinators to share their updates and reflections with their class. These interviews were recorded in November 2023 and are being released now in 2024. Dr. Jill Konkin is a professor in the Department of Family Medicine at the University of Alberta and has recently been appointed as a social accountability lead for the Department of Family Medicine. She has advocated for rural medicine and rural medical education for her entire career, and in the course of her work at the University of Alberta, she has implemented several rural medical education programs that contributed to increasing the number of graduates that choose rural medicine careers. Her current research interests include rural medical education, professional identity formation, interprofessional education, social accountability, and clinical courage. All right, welcome to another special episode of Bone Saws Bring It Back, Faculty Edition. And today we have Dr. Jill Konkin, who was the Associate Dean Community Engagement when we were in med school. Good to see you, Dr. Konkin.
And nice to see you, Dr. Lee.
Okay, well, why don't you start us off? Give us a summary of where your career has taken you since 2013.
I'll start with clinical. So I was doing locums and had been since I came to the faculty. But starting in about 2015, I did a locum for Esther Tailfeathers in Fort Chipewyan. And at that point, she was the only doc serving the community. So even when she wasn't in the community, she was on call 24 hours, 7 days a week. And the rest is history in the sense that I went there once and then I started going about every 4 to 6 weeks and have done that until my sabbatical year a year ago. And I'm at a stage in my career where I'm not quite sure that I'm going to return to clinical, but if I do, I'll go back to Fort Chip. I won't go anywhere else. It was a wonderful place to work. So clinically, that's where I've been. I was the Associate Dean Community Engagement and from 2010 to 2019. And then I ended up as the coordinator for the ICC for a couple of years before my sabbatical. But I also started a social justice community of service and scholarship that did morph out of a community service learning elective that a medical student and I had put together some years before that, and a few others. So I'm not without things on my plate.
Yeah, well, I would never doubt you being without things to do. So given the different roles that you've had at different places you've worked, I'm curious, from your vantage point, what would you say is the state of medicine / healthcare?
Right now, I would say it's not in very good shape. And I think there are an awful lot of our colleagues who are hurting in this time. The sort of uncertainty of, is the government going to decentralize the system after it's been centralized, etc. But the one thing that gives me hope there, Chris, is that I lived and worked through the time, the Klein era, when he blew up the system with no plan. And it was dreadful. Not quite as bad as now, because I feel a meanness now that wasn't there then. It was just competence then. There's more to this now. But I look back and think, that was in the middle 90s. And I almost quit medicine then. It was that bad for a lot of us. But I'm still here and none of them are. So I think we will get through this, but it will be painful and is painful now.
Right. And with the way that I think people are feeling discouraged and is just trying to find ways, but I feel that, you know, we'll figure something out. Functional or dysfunctional, I guess, but something will happen.
And the one other observation I'll make is that I think those of us who have longer-term relationships with patients are in better circumstances in that, I mean, I know in the 90s, and I've said this a number of times with people, that my patients took care of me as much as I took care of them when things were pretty grim for us. And I look at patients now that I feel very connected to. And that's what keeps me in this business and the intellectual stimulation, but it's the relationships. And it pains me to see so many of our new grads choosing not to take on those relationships for some reason, you know, don't want the accountability or afraid of whatever it is. But ultimately, I think as far as family medicine goes, that's the most rewarding part of the whole profession for me.
Right. And as with any relationship, whether professionally, personally, anywhere, those take time. They need the investment of time for it to flourish. And it's all the hard work and the grind and the trust that comes from regular encounters together. And so not always immediate apparent. I mean, it may not seem as enticing or attractive until you really get to sit in the benefit of that. Okay, well, just shifting gears here. My connection to you is not only as the associate dean, but really because you were involved in the integrated community clerkship with ICC. And really, I've just been so pleased to get to know you and Dr. Peter Hamilton through that time, as well as the other coordinators. And I think it's just a subset of students who were able to benefit from being able to do part of our clerkship in that longitudinal way. So I just would like to ask, what is your favorite memory, whether as your time as associate dean or in your involvement with the ICC program?
Well, I could start with the ICC program. As with all things that one is responsible for starting, I often feel when a new program is starting, it's like looking over the edge of a cliff into an abyss and wondering, is this going to work? And by the time your group came through, it was clear that we'd chosen the right communities and the right teachers and the right students, and that this was working for people. So, I mean, the greatest satisfaction of that is to see students thrive in ICC, that it is doing something very different with clerkship, and that I believe, and there is some evidence of this now, that those students who go through LICs are different than their colleagues who don't. And so it's just so gratifying to see that we were the first with NOSM to start an LIC in the country. And it's just so gratifying to see how successful it's been. And as for Associate Dean, some of my favorite memories are working with students, like the VP of Community Engagement and other students who came to me because they'd heard that I did interesting things and might be their mentor. And I look at some of those relationships that are still ongoing. And like ours through ICC, there are others through my associate dean time that I really value.
And on that topic, one of the things I do when I teach learners now is I always frame from the beginning of our time together is that they are my junior colleagues and I'm their senior colleague. And so that when we're working together, so I want them to be as good as I hope them to be. So what advice do you have for your junior colleagues who are earlier in their career? And if you have anything to say to the medical class of 2013, we'd love to hear it.
Well, for the class of 2013, I'll just say keep up the good work. I know where a few of you are, and it looks like you're taking the reins and starting to blossom into, how shall I say, junior colleagues who are going to be there for me in my dotage when I need people like you. But also, I mean, I see you at the ACFP, but some of your classmates as well in various organizations and whatever, and that's very gratifying. Do I have advice? I'm not very good at advice. I'm much better at asking questions. And so, I mean, my view of this is I have as much to learn from junior colleagues as some of them think they have to learn from me. And hopefully there are things to learn from me. But that I see this as a two-way street. And that maybe I'll go back to something that I said about the Klein era, that things can look pretty gloomy and desperate. But there are two things there. First of all, you will get through it. It will end at some point. And that what's important is the patients and the work we do, not what the government is messing around with. The other piece to that is that it's all about the relationship, so that if you're connected to your colleagues and connected to your patients and connected, if you see yourself as part of communities, and they don't have to be geographic, but that you're part of a community and serving it in some way, that's ultimately what will get us through anyness.
And then just as the last question here, what would you tell your younger version of yourself from 10 years ago?
Oh, what would I tell? Okay, what would I tell her? I'd tell her it's okay. Just keep going. Don't be, how shall I say, think big and dream big, and whatever comes of that will be successful.
Well, Dr. Konkin, as I said, I just really appreciate that we've been able to stay connected through the years, you know, whether it's the different conferences and just a chance to say hello. And, you know, with just the breadth of work and experience that you bring to your roles, I just know so many people get to benefit from what you do. And I hope that you can find encouragement in the crops of students have come after you, just working towards good things. And I know that you're trying to continually speak to structures that exist to help them draw attention to reassessing how they do things so that we can have more functional ways of being. So again, thank you for all the work that you do. And again, thanks for being part of this. And I look forward to catching up again.
Thank you so much for asking me. Nice to have connected again.